listen to the young ones read all day, for sure. Third sermon today on sharing the good news of Jesus, which all of us do if we know the Lord. We might do it real well. We might do it maybe, you say, I don't do it so well. Because you've received Christ, His Spirit's in your life, whether you acknowledge it or not, you're a witness for Him. You're either a witness that's very clear or maybe a quieter witness, but don't underestimate God. He's working through you to pass on His good word. You know, He will not be without a witness. That's a verse from the book of Acts. God will not be without a witness. So we're so thankful to be included in the invitation to tell others about the Lord. Charles Stanley calls that life's greatest adventure. In the past, Jesus said the harvest was plentiful. That was the first sermon on that. People are harassed and helpless. A lot of needs out there, a lot of hurting folk. If you look at your own soul, if you don't aren't convinced of that. He said, pray that people do this, that people go into the harvest. So we could pray. We do it, and other people do it too. And then the gospel could be as clear as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on Jesus. Cling to Him. Trust Him. And then come to Him. ABC. And then the I Am sayings of Jesus that we could pass on. I'm the resurrection and the life. If anybody believes in me, will not perish, have eternal life. I'm the light of the world. If you walk in darkness, you can follow me and have the light of life. So telling people about Jesus is a privilege and a responsibility. It's like a 1-2 that God puts in our soul. I think of my own life, before anybody said to me, you ought to be telling people about the Lord, I really wanted to tell people about the Lord. And I didn't do it very well or very often, but I wanted to. And I think that was half the battle. So you and I have I can't help myself. I have a moral obligation and a moral fire to do this. That's what God puts in our heart when we receive Christ. So you have that moral fire. If you do, you belong to Him. If you don't, you want to say, is Jesus resident there? Okay, because if you know Him, you want to pass on good news. Jeremiah put that feeling this way. If I say I won't mention God, His word is like a fire in my bones. I cannot hold it in. I have to say something good about God. And it's, there to bless the other person, obviously. And so Paul felt it this way. He said, woe to me if I don't tell the good news. It was not just for him, but for all God's children. We miss out on something. Christ's love compels me. From the inside out, we want to pass on what God does. Psalm 145, King David starts to talk about God's goodness, and in between all the goodness of God he talks about telling others about God's goodness. And David did it very well. It came just spontaneously out of his soul, like it would work for you and I, God would do for you and I. He says, one generation will commend your work to another. That's occurred since that psalm was written, I think about 1000 B.C. So that would be about, try to do the math, 75 generations. That one generation said, God is great. God is like this. Trust God. 75 generations, that's pretty good. See the generations this morning serving the Lord. Thankful for that. And then since Jesus rose from the dead, 50 generations passed on that good news. That's why we as adults, we feel responsible, and we are responsible, to take the good news to the young people and to the children. That's our responsibility. Somebody did it for us. We don't just want to think, well, we're just going to take care of ourselves. That's the most important thing. David didn't think that way. He said, one generation will commend your goodness to the next. And we thank the Lord for people. In my life, there were guys, when I was a young Christian, 18, 19 years old, there were guys in their 50s, 60s, 70s who impacted me to follow Christ. And you and I could be that person today for the younger ones. Just know their name, pray for them, encourage them. They'll remember. They'll say, I remember what a Christian looks like. From that gal, that guy in church, guy with the gray hair, funny looking tie. I remember. Okay. David said, the people will speak of your glory. He will proclaim the great deeds of God. What God has done for everybody. Jesus dying on the cross. Rising from the dead. That truth is still life changing. When I share Christ with somebody, and I'm a very not outspoken person to do that, but I pass on good news. But when I share with somebody, I usually try to relate to everyday life. I say, you know, married for 35 years or so, and God helps me be a better husband. Christ teaches me about forgiveness. He forgives me. So I tell my wife, you are to forgive me. See, so the gospel, good news on every day, sharing the goodness of the Lord. This is how we do what we do. David said, they will sing joyfully of your goodness. So joy is a part of who we are. It's not that everything's going well, but in our soul, you know, Jesus resides, so there's going to be joy there. Non-verbally, it'll hit our face eventually, but it doesn't mean we have to be the smile, God loves you person, but we'd have the joy. And we know that we have fresh food from God himself. Remember the people in the Old Testament, when they lost their joy, they said, we're tired of the manna God is sending. You know what manna is? It was daily bread God gave. You know those little devotionals some of you love and some of you resent. Not too good, you know. You resent that daily manna. We don't want this. No more. Well, Jesus said, the manna that God sent from heaven is him. So if you're tired of the stale bread, turn to Jesus. He's never stale. If they're stale, you're stale. Okay? You're stale. The Lord's not stale. He's the bread from heaven. And so David knew that. He spoke of the joy of God. It will tell of your kingdom. He says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. So David knew how to do that. It was from the internal motivation. When we share Christ with others, will at times we be awkward? Yes. Will at times we hesitate? Yes. Will at times we will be not clear? Yes. But the truth is stronger than our limitations, than our ability. The true story about two people reading the Bible at a commencement service, graduation, high school graduation, happened to be able to read the Bible. So the faculty picked the faculty representative. Students picked the student representative. Faculty representative read in an outstanding way. Great clarity. Had a radio voice. Okay? Real good. Real strong. Perfect diction. Flawless pronunciation. Emotion at the right time of the passage. It was very moving. Student got up. Student representative chosen by the student. A little bit of a slow reader, stumbled around a little bit, mispronounced a few words, okay, lost his place once or twice. But when he read, people had a sense, it's almost like that guy's life is being changed right from what he's reading. It's almost like he really, his whole life has been touched by that. And when you and I share something about Christ, we're more like the student. People are going to sense their life has been changed by God, by this truth. And so we don't have to do it with great skill and with great perfection, but the heart will get the message out. I like the example. There are guys who stutter and there are guys who stammer. Not too good communicating, and they're married. That means they communicated something to somebody along the line. Okay, and that's what we do. We share the goodness of Christ. Even when we're filled with our own doubts and pain of our soul. Paul was in jail. He was like in chains. You feel like, I feel like in chains. I can't say anything good about God. If we're in chains, the Word of God is not in chains. Okay. He'll speak through us. And I wanted to share four vehicles where we could share Christ, just letting God's Word do His work. A very simple, powerful passage, Psalm 23. If you show it to somebody and say, could you read this and just think about that? You know, could you put yourself in David's shoes? This is David's testimony about the Lord, or part of it. The Lord is my shepherd. So you have to say, God, I want you in my life. I rely on you for my protection, my food, you know, my future from the shepherd. And I shared that with a guy one time. I was a younger pastor. I didn't know where to begin with him. He was a good guy, not a church guy. Good guy in terms of basic morality, wasn't at peace with God. But he came and talked. He said his wife had just left him. It was really tough because they had been married for quite a while, had a teenage daughter. She, you know, it wasn't like she moved to another state. She moved like two blocks away. So everything was painful in his world. And I didn't know where to start. He was a farmer. He worked at GE in the evening at Erie plant. And so I said, why don't you read this psalm here, Psalm 23. You know, and just think of God, that He cares about what you're going through. He cares about you. And He wants to be your shepherd. And that's all I knew to tell the guy. I was heartbroken with him. And he read, you know, for a couple of weeks, came back and talked. How are things going? Still bad. Wife was still gone. Still a lot of pain. But he said, but I get a lot of help from this book. The Psalm 23. That's all he knew. And he said, I'm reading that like five times a day. And eventually, things didn't change. Family never did get back together. But he was at peace with God. He started following Christ. He was one of these guys who would do anything for you, you know, and became an usher, became a youth leader, drove the church bus. He just went all out with this Lord is my shepherd. And so God's Word can impact somebody like that. Not just, oh, you got to use this passage, but it's a real life testimony of another man, King David. Same thing happens in John's Gospel. Share a couple things out of there. John 3:16. I've seen a lot of people be moved and turn to Christ in that one passage. If you ask them to put their name in the passage, that God loves them. God so loved that person. God so loved Randy. He gave Jesus to that person. That if Randy, you believe in Christ, that means to cling to and trust. You won't perish, but will have life everlasting. And I know God has used, those are Jesus' words, words from Jesus to draw people to Himself. And one more example. Romans Road is an old time practice of saying, look, this is what God did for you. Romans Road is really Paul's testimony in a shortened version. Okay, the Apostle Paul. He basically came to people, Romans 3. Everybody sins and falls short of God's glory. Okay, the breakdown of that is in your bulletin. Everybody sins. You could share with somebody, you know, I trust in Christ because I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Everybody sins, falls short of God's glory. And second, while we were still sinners, really rebelling, he didn't say, clean up and come to me. He said, come to me and I'll clean you up. While we were still sinners, Christ gave his life for us. What a great work he did. And then the wonderful gift God would give us. Romans 6, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. I remember talking to one gal just a couple of years ago. I happened to say, well, you know, you're uncertain about God, but remember, I just blurted it out, you know, didn't try to sound like a preacher or nothing. God's gift is eternal life with Christ. She says, tell me more about this gift of eternal life. It's just the truth of God's word. In Paul's life was real. So it could be real in, you know, your friend's life, and certainly with our life. And then the last part of Romans Road is Romans 10, getting that person to know, look, this is for real. To say what you mean, Jesus is Lord, He's in charge, and I know He rose from the dead. Believe in your heart, God rose from the dead. You will be at peace with God. You'll be saved. And really, you know, your heart will get the message out. And in closing, I know we're closing up here. We have to remember, as we share with people, and I wish we could write this little phrase from Ravi Zacharias on all the reports in that annual report back there, that in everything we do, and even sharing the gospel, it was relationship over methodology. That was important. Okay, now Ravi Zacharias, he's so intelligent, you know, he said, when a society starts to put methodology over people, watch out. Communists are good at doing that. Tyrants are good at doing that. Fit into the system. Okay. You can't ask a lost person to fit into any system. You got to have a relationship with the lost person. And so it's your love for them that's going to come through. Zacharias even went so far, as I shared this before, love is the greatest apologetic. And great apologists like Ravi Zacharias, C.S. Lewis, other people, they had a great love for people, which is why they studied how to share. You know, but their love was the main motivation. And God's love through you will speak to people in a powerful way. And thank you for being fishers of men and witnesses. And God's word in you will do God's work. Have confidence in that. And I think, as I look across the congregation here, if I met any of you on the street, and you know this if you know some people around you, and I didn't know Christ, I think I can meet Christ through you. I think I would.